Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I welcome you to the program. It is our midweek edition. It also is the very middle of July. It's July the 15th, 2015, and we are coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We live stream the show. You have a couple of choices there. The station's fine website has the live stream at kvoi.com and also at my website, buckmastershow.com. Also the place for all of our podcasts at buckmastershow.com. You can listen to the program anytime, anywhere in the world on your schedule there at buckmastershow.com. We will begin this midweek edition of the show with a conversation with Tucson City Councilwoman Karen Ulick, followed at 12:30. We will meet Edna San Miguel. She is a Republican who is running for Congress in CD number 3. She hopes to challenge Congressman Raul Grijalva. Then we'll close out the program with a discussion of why bad teachers are difficult to get out of the classroom. We'll discuss that with our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks. The Buckmaster Show live line open for you at 790-2040. Our Facebook page, we invite you to become a friend of our program, and it's easy to find. It's under my name, Bill Buckmaster. Let's welcome Councilwoman Karen Ulick. Karen, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks. And I hope you'll allow me to open our interview with a congratulations, as I did when I walked in the door. Congratulations for doing Tucson so proud and being inducted into the Broadcasters Hall of Fame. That's a big honor for our community, as well as for you and your hard work.
Well, thank you very much, Karen. I am very honored. And it's especially sweet when a Tucson broadcaster gets it,
exactly,
because normally the state being as heavily centered toward Phoenix, it's usually the Phoenix folks.
Absolutely. And KVOI, you know, offering the platform for you to have this program, it's a great thing. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. Another one of these surveys came out about the 10 most distressed cities in the United States. This came out from, this is a study from the Economic Innovation Group, and they looked at several things: housing, vacancy rates, educational attainment, median income rates, ratios. Detroit was number one. That's probably not a surprise to a lot of people. 94% of the citizens in Detroit have a difficult time.
And wow.
Yeah, you're a Michiganer.
I am. I was born in Detroit, in fact. So,
I mean, people keep saying Detroit is coming back, and I think they've made some progress, but boy, they really, that's tough.
Yeah, it is.
Memphis, 68% distress. Milwaukee, 55%. Atlanta, a lot of people surprised about that one, because Atlanta is known as the economic engine of the South, but they have a shockingly high poverty rate there. Fresno, an area where I spent some time early in my career, that's still a very distressed area, 48% economically distressed. Las Vegas, that might be a surprise to people, 46%, but there are a lot of unemployed people in the gaming industry up there, so that hurt. My hometown of Chicago, 42%. My current hometown for the last nearly 30 years, Tucson, 39%, and then Houston, 38%. Poverty levels continue to be a huge issue here.
Of course, and in particular, not only poverty generally, but working poverty. People are not finding jobs that offer enough hours or enough income to sustain themselves and their families. So it's clearly something that we can't let up on. We have to keep focusing on. There's been some success in recent years, but obviously, after such a horrific economic downturn, more recent economic development initiatives, we just have to track it and make sure we're trending positive.
The critics of you and your colleagues on the All-Democratic Council will say that you folks are to blame. Is that unfair?
I think that local government certainly is one factor that we have to look at. And I think that we have recognized and tried to address some of the key issues, challenges that businesses have faced. For example, converting a space from one type of business to another and getting a certificate of occupancy. I work with businesses across Ward 3 all the time who are really challenged by some of the code and land use provisions that we've got. You know, we are chipping away at what has really become a labyrinth of regulation over decades to try and simplify things. And I tell you, Bill, you know Ward 3. I mean, the north central area of the city. What I increasingly find myself saying to neighbors and others who want a lot of regulation is, listen, we need to open the door to investment. We need active space. We need investment because the alternative is vacancy and blight. And so we have real clarity around that. And I feel like in Ward 3, we're working real hard to make sure that if people want to invest and there's a barrier, that not only we address it on a project level, but I have very frank conversations with the manager and mayor and council colleagues. We all try and identify ways to remove barriers.
And we will speak with the manager, Michael Ortega. He will be our guest on Friday here on the program. Mr. Ortega will introduce him to the Tucson radio audience. He comes from a background. He's had a lot of governmental experience. I believe he was at Cochise County, the administrator of the Cochise County Board of Supervisors there for many years. So he's coming in with a fresh set of eyes.
He is. And I just met with him for a couple of hours this morning and have had a good amount of time speaking with him. I think we have hired a mature and very skilled manager. I think he's going to bring a lot of good perspective and approach to the job that's going to benefit us tremendously.
And we'll have a new police chief. That's huge as well. Roberto Villasenor will be retiring at the end of the year. So there's some major changes happening in the city of Tucson at the top.
That's right.
Going back to the economic situation and being one of the distressed cities, that in itself is not new. It's been going on for a long time.
It has. And at the same time, I think that we do need to be clear about doing everything in our power in partnership. You know, we can beat each other up about it. We can point fingers about it. We really need to identify what the barriers are and how we can collectively move those barriers. And if, for example, there's a regulatory measure that was put into place to address a problem, we need to revisit. Is there another way to solve that problem? And I can give you just one example. In Tucson, we need more sidewalks. And it has been the history for decades that if a new business or an investment comes in, that one of the provisions is that that property owner will extend sidewalks in front of their business. Mm-hmm. During the economic downturn, there were businesses in my ward who couldn't afford that extra cost. And so I challenged that history. Do we need sidewalks? Absolutely. But can we saddle every new establishment or existing establishment or every opportunity of investment with too much, so much that the investment doesn't happen? So we really are, I think, looking at all sides of the equation and doing it in a wise way.
So you think efforts have been made and successful efforts to make this a business-friendly community?
Oh, sure. I mean, the land use code has been radically streamlined and reduced. We offer certificates of occupancy in a much more straightforward manner. And yet, there are still things that are getting in the way.
Karen Ulick is with us, Tucson City Councilwoman. If you would like to join in the conversation, our live line number is 790-2040. It seems like everybody hates red light cameras, but I think the research on this shows they do save lives.
Yeah, I don't hate red light cameras.
Okay.
And it's very simple for me. The accidents causing injury and death are reduced. And that's really my primary concern as a person charged with promoting the public's health and safety. And so I understand it. I've received the tickets. I've taken the online. I've paid the darn. I mean, and really, especially now when people are really hurting economically, it is tough.
It is.
I'm more than willing to look at the fine levels, more than willing to. We've already adjusted some of the timing at some of the intersections. We've tried to get the state to redefine some of the lines for the program as far as how the intersection is defined. So do we need to make sure that it's a fair mechanism for promoting safety? Absolutely. But, you know, I do genuinely believe that more of us driving out there see yellow to mean slow down, not speed up. And I think that's very important.
And as I recall, there was some survey that had done that we had more red light deaths per capita, red light runners here per capita, than just about any other city in the United States.
Hey, when I moved here in 93, I know when I would drive, when I got a green light, I always paused and counted to three before proceeding.
I still do that.
Always, always. And a lot of times I would see a flash in front of me as somebody tried to get through the light. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case, that we've had a bad track record there. And it's, you know, it's a life or death situation. Now, the other thing is, you know, the cameras themselves and the mechanism I know is distasteful. But the truth is we have limited resources in terms of the numbers of officers in our police department. And we need those folks really focused on neighborhood safety and preventing and going after criminals. If we remove the red light cameras and want to sustain safety in our traffic, we're going to need to assign officers. And that people might like that approach better, but is it really, do we really want to let go of a tool that is helping us to apply officers' time more effectively? I think I would say no.
All right. That's Karen Ulick's opinion. We will hear more from Karen, Tucson City Councilwoman, after we take our first break on the Buckmaster Show. Give a listen to the fine people who support our program. We ask that you give them your support. We'll be right back.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
American Openings is pleased to be a sponsor of Good News Radio Broadcasting, featuring local news and information on AM 1030 KVOI, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ on KGMS 940 AM, positive and encouraging music on 88.1 FM K-Love, and pop classics on KCEE 690 AM. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer, concerned about our community and proud to be a partner with Good News Radio to help make our community a better place.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it's 1221 790-2040. If you have any questions or comments for Councilwoman Karen Ulick, Karen would be happy to entertain your comments. We have the Founders Day event coming up on August the 20th, Councilwoman, and of course the seven flags that have played a role in Tucson's history are displayed at that event. Down at the Presidio, one of the flags is the flag of the Confederate States of America, of course, very controversial right now. Should that flag continue to be a part of this, what is kind of a museum exhibition?
Well, I think that from a historical perspective and in that context, it is the truth that the flag did fly over Tucson. And so to erase that history, I don't think is the essential point of what is probably one of the most significant dialogues happening in the country right now. I think that the point is that the symbol of the Confederacy is not appropriate to fly year round in any kind of public arena, and I'm amongst thousands and millions of people who celebrate the fact that that's no longer the case in South Carolina, and that, you know, I appreciate that people are raising the question, because mm-hmm. that is a very important historic event and one that needs to continue in other states. So,
yeah, we've had some very heated discussions on this program about it, and I can kind of see both sides of this, but for a brief period of time, pulling this flag out of the museum still seems appropriate.
Well, as long as it's to say this is our history, mm-hmm. I don't know that erasing it would necessarily advance the cause of anti-racism, because we all ought to acknowledge that at different points in history, that sentiment was very widespread, and it's no longer embraced, should no longer be in any way embraced. However, you know, it is a historical event, and in that context, it is, I think, probably the context where it may be appropriate to acknowledge that history.
And just a quick aside, I posted on my Facebook page what I think is the best think piece that's been published on this from the Wall Street Journal. That piece was in last Saturday's journal. So if anyone wants to take a look at that, I've got it posted on Bill Buckmaster on the Facebook page. Let's go to Roger. He has a question or comment about red light cameras. Go ahead, Roger.
Well, my view on the red light cameras, like, I received a ticket and an officer who was a witness signed off on it. Well, he actually bared false witness against me because he said he was a witness and I ran a red light when it wasn't even me driving. So the officer bearing witness, for one, he lied. He did not have all the facts. And number two is, how far do you want to take using private enterprise to profit from citing people? I mean, do you want to start putting cameras on our sidewalk and you can just get a ticket in the mail from a camera when you litter, if you jaywalk, if you're dealing drugs? Like, we could put them up down at the city park and just send all those people violation citations for dealing their heroin and drugs out on the sidewalk.
Okay, thanks, Roger. So your Roger's question or comment is, how far do you take these cameras?
Well, I think that that would require a very robust public process to consider any additional use of camera technology for law enforcement. There is discussion about police officers having cameras, being equipped with cameras, and there are sort of, you know, pros and cons and different arguments for and against that. So this initiative and our red light camera program is very specific, and that's kind of what's, being examined and deliberated on. And it does not guarantee or open the door without further public process to any extension of the program. So, and as I say, Roger, in terms of the points about how witness or verification occurs, any of those questions, those should be addressed. With regard to the use of private enterprise and private companies, also a good question. And I've raised those similar questions with regard to the prison industry and whether it's appropriate to engage with contractors in that sector. So, they're all good questions, and they're the ones that we need to debate and make a decision on together at the polls in November.
So folks probably will be voting on the red light cameras in November. They'll also be voting on two questions, and if you would quickly go over those for us, two council initiatives that will go on to the ballot.
There are two specific charter amendments being proposed that were vetted by a citizens committee that will be asking voters to consider. One would, in essence, strengthen the office of the mayor, and the other would strengthen the managerial power of the city manager. Right now, it's more dispersed amongst the department heads, and it really clarifies the manager's authority to hire and fire department heads and to have mayor and council receive an opportunity to affirm those or not. So it clarifies things. And one of the challenges in our local government, quite frankly, Bill, is that the charter is extremely unique, both in how we're all elected and then how our duties are carried out. And every department head is subject to different provisions, and it gets very confusing, and it's harder for the public to hold us and the bureaucracy accountable when there's a lack of clarity. And it makes all of our jobs, I think, more difficult as citizens and also as electeds and city employees. So it brings clarity, and I hope that both provisions pass.
And we're operating under a charter that was, I believe, approved in the 1920s.
Right. There have been some amendments over the years, but these two, I think, what I appreciate so much is that the citizens group and all of us entered into the process with the question, is there a way that we can improve the functioning of city government, period? And these are two areas that where there seem to be very widespread consensus. Others will require more deliberation and debate, but these two seem to be, I guess you could call low-hanging fruit for the voters to at least consider.
All right. In the remaining minute, downtown continues to look very attractive. We had Edmund Marquez. I was very impressed with him yesterday. He's the newest member of the Rio Nuevo District Board, and he was articulating what's going on downtown as new development, including the new hotel.
Yep. I'm very excited about his appointment, and really the board of Rio Nuevo. I think we're all, again, in terms of focusing on a goal, we're focusing on our shared goal and our respective roles in achieving that. So I think that there's a very exciting opportunities ahead to build on the successes that we've achieved together.
Still going to be a very tough budget year.
It will be, and I think that clearly, particularly with public safety pensions looming as a cost that we have to cover, we're going to have to address, I'm hoping, over time, some kind of dedicated funding source to make sure we meet those obligations but can still sustain our other essential functions.
All right. So the council is on a reduced schedule this summer. Is that the way that works?
We typically meet once in July and once in August. And that continues through this summer, yeah.
All right. Karen Ulick, thank you very much. If people would like to reach you, what is the best way? Through your website?
The city website, or at Ward 3, the number 3, at TucsonAZ.gov, or 791-4711.
Thank you very much, Karen. Hope the rest of the summer goes well for you.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, 12:30 exactly on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to speak with a political candidate for Congress, Edna San Miguel. We will introduce her to you right after this.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. to the Buckmaster Show on this midweek edition. It's coming up now on 12:34. Many areas around town receive some nice cooling rain. Usually a couple of times during the summer thunderstorm season we get morning rains. It's still kind of certainly a little unusual. We did not get any in the central foothills, but lots of places in Tucson Valley got nice rain today. Edna San Miguel is with me. Edna is a Tucson artist. She is a published author, and she is now about ready to become a political candidate. She is a political newcomer, but she has decided as a Republican to, if all goes well, to challenge congressional District Number 3, Congressman Democrat Raul Grijalva, who is serving his seventh term in Congress. District 3 includes parts of Pima, Maricopa, Pinal, Santa Cruz, and Yuma counties. It is a very large district. And Edna, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Bill. Thank you for having me here today.
Well, this is your first broadcast interview, and I know since you made the announcement a couple of weeks ago at the Tucson Republican Women, many people have asked you, Edna, are you a viable candidate? Are you serious about this? And what do you tell those people?
I say yes. And I'll say it again, yes, that I am.
And they probably follow up by saying what I'm going to ask you right now. Why are you a viable candidate?
Why am I a viable candidate? There are many reasons why I am viable, and I would like to share at least a few of them here with you all today. Obviously, at demographics, I believe I have that covered. I'm a sixth-generation Tucsonan. My great-great-grandfather came from Boston with the cavalry to settle the Tucson area in 1860. So our family line, our history is extensive. My great-grandmother was raised on Congress Street, as we know, Congress and Stone, and she was a middle daughter, and my great-grandfather had married Estefana Chavez, and her name was Juanita Chavez.
So. Well, it's not like you don't know the Grijalvas. I mean, you actually, through marriage, there's been some kind of almost like family, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. We do meet up at weddings, funerals, and no bar mitzvahs, but there may be a first there. I look forward to that one. But definitely, I believe his inner core of people, his support system, are either related to me or married to my cousins. I have beautiful female cousins in the family. So.
Why are you a Republican?
I was my father's influence. My siblings are Democrats. I do have one brother who's a Republican. He just turned Republican. But my father's Air Force veteran Republican, and I am my father's daughter. I believe so.
What would you put at the top of your list? Is there anything in particular that drove you to this campaign that the congressman was not doing that you think he should be doing?
Border issues. We have to close those borders down. Look, you know, we are, as Americans, we are generous people. We are caring people. We have this history, the great history, with Eleanor Roosevelt and how she reached out to so many internationally. I mean, we still have that heart, that giving heart. I just think with what's happened within this last administration, or this administration, I'm getting ready to have them removed quickly here. I believe that we've left ourselves open to some pretty severe attacks of some sort. I mean, just concerning. Citizens are concerned. I'm out there knocking on doors, and I'm talking to folks, and they say to me, you know, we're really concerned. And I say to them, okay, you know, I'm going to continue to research this area. That's what I do best. I research, and I'll continue to attack that.
All right, let's go to our live line number, Edna. We're going to bring in our friend Jim. Jim Kelly is with us and would like to speak with Edna San Miguel. Go ahead, Jim.
Hi, thank you, Bill. Good afternoon, Edna.
Hi, Jim. Edna, how are you?
I'm fine. What pieces of legislation would you present that you don't see has been presented that would specifically help the economy of Southern Arizona? Would you expand trade with Mexico? Would you encourage a deep water port, Guaymas? What would you want to do?
All that is good, Jim. But right now, priority would be our American citizens. The job force actually has to be prominent and available for our veterans. We have so many veterans out there that are struggling and their families are struggling. We need to get in there and support them. That's high on my list, okay? So as far as, of course, exchanging with NAFTA and the Mexican government, that's all wonderful. And by the way, I worked alongside when NAFTA was coming through back in 89. I was a designer for many of their products that they were selling. The mining industry, they had other products they were selling. So I'm very much familiar with what they are attempting to do. And I think it's all good. But priority has to be at home first. And that would be with our citizens here and job, obviously, for veterans.
Okay. Thank you, Jim, for that question. Edna, you have a really outstanding career as an artist. You're a conservator and was the registrar on the project to restore San Javier Mission, and you've wrote and illustrated a book about the mission, and you also wrote some children's books, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I actually
that are still available.
Yes, sir. I worked with the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum, and one of the first books published through them was titled My Nana's Remedies, which is tremendously popular within actually the state and now the nation, of course. And then I began working with the national parks and revamping their Junior Ranger books, which needed revamping. Many of them were still stylized back in the 70s, which I found interesting. And then I proceeded with a publication, a published book, a national book titled My Mission San Javier, A Restoration of Saints and Angels, Art and Artist. I was part of the conservation group out at San Javier Mission with Dr. Bonnie Fontana, Paul Swirschbaum with the Guggenheim Museum, and also from New York in the Venice area, And so worked closely with Tim Lewis, Matilda. He married and left for Europe, and I became very close friends with Donatella Zotti from Rome and her family.
Edna, this is it's a big district. You're going to have to really get out there, as you know, all the way over to Yuma. It's going to take money to run this campaign. So how are you going to structure that?
Yes. Well, definitely it's going to take quite a bit of money, I understand. Being that it's my first run, I'm in exploratory at this point. I'm looking at all venues and methods of raising prominent amounts of money to campaign this run. I believe that I can win. I truly believe that I can win. I hit all the demographics here in Arizona, and I can relate to many different parts of the community and different parts of the district itself. I am taking donations at this time. Well, let me correct myself. Investment. Actually, you'll be investing in your future. You'll be investing in the future of your children. That's what I'm calling it, not donations. And so in the future, you will see...
Donations kind of sounds like a charity, right?
It does. It does, definitely.
And you're pretty serious about this.
I am very, very serious. Yes, sir.
How about the website? Ed had it up there. There it is.
Yes.
SanMiguelForCongress.com. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
And you're going to put all your issues there and your fundraising efforts.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes,
so you talked about certainly the border is a big issue with you. You've characterized yourself as a strict constitutionalist? Would that be accurate?
You know, I'm strict in some areas and strict and not so strict in others.
Where are you strict? Yeah.
Okay. I'm strict in areas where it concerns our liberties. It concerns our freedoms in this country. I believe that they're being challenged in this time in our lives, and I support our liberties, our freedom. I mean, I've been challenged. I lost a job because I chose to actually defend at one point in a school district. I was a school teacher. I had defended a group of Christian students who wanted me to protect them. They had their posters for their pizza and Bible study and so forth. They had their, they were destroyed by other students, and they wanted me to help them. I was in charge of some display cases. I placed their items in the display case.
Right.
And within seconds or so, well, within 5 minutes, I'm getting called into the principal's office at an intercom here at one of the schools in Tucson, and I walk in to see the principal, and she is fuming.
Uh-huh.
And she says, let's get back out to this display case. You are in violation of church and state.
Wow.
And I said, well, how is that possible? I mean, there is no such law, because I taught history as well.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And she was even more so fuming. She says, you need to take this down or your job is in jeopardy.
And you got fired over that?
Well, it was more like it was dissolved.
Whoa.
The position was dissolved. But I chose to defend my students. I wanted them to see that it was important they protected their civil liberties. And their so I walked away. And as I walked away, I said a prayer. And I said, okay, Lord, you are my provider. I think I'm out of mm-hmm. a job, but I know you'll take care of us, myself and my family.
You have not had an easy road. You had four children to raise. One of them was autistic, was
yes,
that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, my youngest one was diagnosed with high-functioning autism. And,
uh-huh.
and you know, I'm new to the political scene because I've been working,
You've
actually.
Been busy.
I've been busy. I've been raising a son with autism,
yeah.
and I put out all aspirations of any career. I had my degrees from the university. I'm an alumni. To take care of the one who was code blue in and out of the hospital and died in my arms. And I knew that I had to leave everything behind and take care of this one. And I said to Christopher, when you turn 20 years old, follow my program. I'm going to see that you're at the University of Arizona as a junior. He will be at the University of Arizona as a junior next year in psychology and music. And he has worked extremely hard to do so.
Congratulations.
So, thank
Edna
you.
San Miguel, exploratory candidate for Congress. It's sanmiguelforcongress.com. Edna, thank you. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Thank you, Bill. You're so kind. Thank you.
12:45 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control reminds you of their patented foaming treatment with an onomatopoeia poem. Termites, oh termites, why must you eat? The homes of Tucson shall not be your treat. Five Star, will your foam help protect? It certainly will, your walls will inject. Foaming your home will get rid of them snappy. Termites go away and our customers happy. Call Five Star, that's Five Star, 886-0045 and fivestartermite.com.
We know what bugs you.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Thursday for a conversation with Humane Borders founder, Dr. Reverend Robin Hoover. Also, we'll preview another season of Wildcat Football with Anthony Jimeno. Buckmaster airs noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We have anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, pushing toward 12:50 on this midweek edition on this Wednesday. A lot going on over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. They have the Fiber Arts Festival, exhibits, workshops, quilts, and demonstrations that will be in historic Silver City. And then up to a little bit outside Silver City near Lake Roberts, this is the Hummingbird Festival weekend at Little Toad Creek Inn. So there's a lot to do over in Silver City this weekend. You can find out about the many places to stay, like Little Toad Creek Inn and Casitas de Gila guest houses, by going to southwestnewmexico.org. That's their fine website for places to stay and the many things to do. Once a month, we are honored to have our contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. He is the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. Dr. Hendricks was named Arizona's top school superintendent back in 1989. He's with us on the live line. Dr. Hendricks, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill.
A lot of people talk about teachers and sometimes how difficult it is to replace teachers that are considered, just not meeting the standards that one would think of for being a good teacher. It's kind of hard to talk about this issue because in some ways it's kind of an attack, then it seems like, on the rest of teachers, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's a very sensitive subject, and it's certainly been an ongoing debate for many, many years. And it all seems to center around this issue of tenure, which, of course, is a non-existent term in practice in the state of Arizona, but is a long-held practice in many, many other states. And probably one of the things that I think is of great interest today is the fact that there is a landmark lawsuit that has been filed in California by nine students who claim that they were underserved by certain teachers that they've had during their school experience. Basically, what they're saying is that those teachers were allowed to remain in the classroom, and that their performance as teachers is linked to the quality of instruction that these students believe they receive, and also as it goes without saying, the whole issue of their student achievement. And so I'm following this case very, very carefully because I think it really has great implications as to, you know, what the future is of tenure, as well as what actions we take in terms of evaluating teacher performance. And the name of the case is Vergara versus California, and Governor Brown has gotten has weighed in on this as well, and he's been very supportive of teachers as part of his life and his campaign, but now he's really kind of in a difficult situation because this case really is taking a look at grossly ineffective teachers and what is the state, specifically California, going to do about them.
Well, the Vergara case experts, Dr. Hendricks, are estimating that 1 to 3% of California's 275,000 teachers are grossly ineffective. Now, the grossly ineffective is somewhat of a subjective term, isn't it?
It is, and the only way one can really bring any kind of metric value to that is to take a look at student achievement. And that brings us back to many, many other discussions that we have had about performance testing and how does one evaluate if a teacher is doing a good job in the classroom or not. Certainly, achievement tests are one way to do that. Another are classroom observations. And we know from previous studies that principals, by and large, do not necessarily find the performance evaluations to be an effective way to really measure whether teachers are doing a good job in the classroom or not.
How do the unions stack up? I would assume they're going to be fighting this case over in California.
Well, they are. And, of course, center stage in this case, they always look at the large school districts, and L.A. Unified is a very major player in this lawsuit. And L.A. has indicated that they have dismissed less than 2% of their teachers over a period of 10 years, which is a very, which the percentage seems like a small percentage, but when you think of the number of teachers in L.A., that's a very large number of teachers that were not dismissed.
How about locally? How does the process of firing a teacher begin, say, even in the TUSD district? How is it generally done, Dr. Hendricks?
Well, generally, it's up to the teacher's supervisor, which in most cases is the principal, to take a look at a teacher's performance, and that performance could be, again, school achievement scores, performance, other areas of performance within the classroom, and then evaluations are done usually through direct observation. Teachers are given a plan for improvement and given a specific period of time, depending on the district, to make that improvement. And if they don't improve, in theory, they would be shown the door. But we know the reality of that is that it has to begin with administrators who are willing to take that action. And there's one project that I'm aware of that was done a few years ago, the New Teacher Project Study, which found that 86% of administrators surveyed said that they really would probably not take actions to terminate a teacher because it was very costly time-wise and costly financially to the district.
Well, that's unfortunate because then we are going to keep some bad teachers in the classroom, but they don't want to get, it sounds like a lot of these folks just don't want to get involved because it is a hassle, correct?
Well, it is a hassle, and when we use that word bad, what is a bad teacher? I would prefer to use the word ineffective,
mm-hmm.
And when you use that word, then you can try to assign some specifics as to what is it that the teacher is not doing, and what is it that we would expect that teacher to do. And if that teacher isn't doing it, then one would think, if you translate that to other professions, that you would just be saying to that person, you're no longer going to be part of this organization. But I don't think it's happening as frequently as we, the public, would like to see it happen.
And quickly, this news happened, I believe it was actually it was in today's Star. A judge threw out a bid by state school superintendent Diane Douglas to control the employees of the Arizona Board of Education. So that's a big deal. That just came down, Bob Hendricks.
I didn't see that. Mm-hmm. I'm really not surprised at all, Bill, by that. I think that the relationship, if you look at the statutes, the relationship of the state superintendent to the employees and also her role on the board does not give her that authority. And so I'm not surprised at all that decision was made.
All right, Dr. Robert Hendricks with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, and we will look forward to our visit with you in August. Hope the rest of July goes well for you, Bob. Thank you very much.
Same to you, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bob Hendricks, our Buckmaster Show contributor. We've got, very proud of it, over 24 contributors on a regular basis to this program. You can read about them and see their bio and all of their qualifications by going to our website, buckmastershow.com. That's also the place for all of our podcasts on The Buckmaster Show. We've got a full lineup tomorrow. We have the Oro Valley Mayor, Satish Hiremath, who apparently will be the object of a recall. And then we'll have Reverend Robin Hoover. I think it's about the 10-year anniversary of the group that he founded, Humane Borders. That'll be an interesting discussion tomorrow on Buckmaster. Speaking of interesting, we do a lot of interesting talk here, including 4 to 5 every afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. We do 3 hours of talk, local talk, 6 to 9 here on KVOI. Chris and Joe Wake Up Tucson, Christy Simone 8 to 9 with the Daily Double, and then me, yours truly, Bill Buckmaster, back with Ed Alexander at 12:04. Till then, tomorrow, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.